Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. Think about what a natural disaster might be like where you live. Are you and your family ready? You might be thinking about wildfires, since that's the seasonal disaster we all fear in this region. But FEMA has a crazy list of all kinds of events they consider disastrous hazards and how to prepare for them. We'll dive into that list. Is it Katiana Krachinko?
Hi, Mike. This is Gloria Huang. I am on
Gloria Huang. Thank you. I appreciate it. Welcome to the exchange, Gloria.
Thank you.
Let's get started by giving a sense of the scope of hazard events that FEMA responds to. The list I saw included active shooter, avalanche, earthquakes, nuclear explosions, pandemics, cyber attacks, and much more. We're not just talking about wildfires, hurricanes, and tornadoes, are we?
Absolutely not. So at FEMA, we are constantly looking at what kind of hazards are faced by anyone across the country so that we can be ready to help if that help is needed. But FEMA's Ready campaign is something that we do our National Preparedness Month campaign specifically is what we do every year in September to also raise awareness for every individual and family across the country, encouraging them to just be familiar with those hazards that are more likely to affect where they live. And so I like what you led with there in highlighting some of those disasters that are more likely to affect the listeners for your show.
So how many different types of disasters does FEMA respond to?
Oh, I do think it would be hard for me to give you an exact number, but there are so many, and we find that every single year there's different types of events and also hazards that we need to better prepare for. Even events like the summer heat has changed for us in that the heat has become more extreme, and so we need to think about other ways to prepare communities and other ways to respond to the effects of that type of extreme heat. So there are many, but I think the key thing that we really want everyone to know is that, honestly, preparing for different types of disasters can look very similar. And by preparing for one, you are able to prepare for many. And it really starts with starting a conversation with yourselves, with your families, and with your community members about what steps they've already taken and what they would like to do in order to prepare for the types of events that they can expect in your area.
Well, I like that point. By preparing for one or two, you're preparing for three or four or more. How can we be prepared for so many different types of disasters? What's the general sense of preparation?
It's a great question. The most important thing you can do is just start breaking it down into simple steps. And I like to share three for everyone to start with.
Okay.
One is just knowing your risk in your area. So knowing, first of all, what types of disasters are more likely to happen where you are. For your listeners, I would encourage them to think about earthquakes, think about wildfires, and also flooding, because even wildfires, after they leave, can cause those burn scars that cause flooding to be more severe as well. Second is just starting that conversation, talking to your family about preparing. You might be surprised by how many different people in your community have experienced a disaster before. So learning from each other, having those conversations, and being able to learn from what others have already done is a great way to get started and make it a little bit easier to wrap your head around this whole concept of preparing. Then the third is making a plan, writing down what you would do, talking over it with your family. And that's where we have ready.gov, our website, to walk you through all of these steps and also give you tools to make that plan. We break it down into simple steps so you can just think through who are your emergency contacts, what would you do in this situation, and we even have an online form that helps you put in some of those plan elements so you can get it written down and saved somewhere where everyone can access.
Okay, well, let's see how well I've been listening, how much of a student I am. These three suggestions or recommendations, I should know my area, I should have conversation in my community, and I should make a plan and visit ready.gov.
Absolutely, you got it correct.
Excellent. I'm talking with Gloria Wong of FEMA about disaster preparedness. You can add your questions or comments by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So it's one thing to think about a fully functional and mobile family preparing for an unavoidable natural disaster, but what should we be thinking about with elderly residents and others with limited mobility or illness? And what about family pets and farm animals?
I like this question because what you're picking up on is that everyone will have different unique needs. And absolutely, people who are caregivers of elderly parents or maybe people who have different pets with different needs, those are definitely high on the list for situations where you need to actually think through your specific needs and prepare for those. So an example might be medication. Pets have medication. We all have medication, and especially those with certain disabilities or people who are caregivers, you need to be prepared to deliver that medication, have enough on hand if something were to happen. So knowing sort of what your plan would be in different scenarios, for example, if you were told to have to evacuate because of a wildfire, you need to have an idea of where you might be able to go to get medication if you're not able to stock up ahead of time, or how you can stock up ahead of time, get a little bit of extra materials, medical supplies, specific assistive devices, and having it ready on hand, either in an emergency kit, go kit, something that you can take with you if you need to go somewhere. On the topic of evacuation as well, knowing where you would evacuate to is also very important. So your local officials and your emergency management may have certain ways of getting shelter locations set up, but not every shelter location is the same. It may not be as accessible. Some shelters may not be able to take pets as well. So this is all information you can look up ahead of time, talk through it, figure out a short list of where you would go if you needed to leave your home if there was a wildfire threatening your area. So those are just a few examples. We do on ready.gov have pages dedicated to simple tips that are specific to, say, older adults, pet owners, also a whole section on how to prepare for with children as well.
Well, those are all good ideas to be thinking about. Right now, I'm thinking about the heat. Summer may be officially over, but technically it's still here, and we've been experiencing extreme heat in the early days of September, and that's one of FEMA's hazard events. So what are some of the recommendations to say stay safe in this extreme heat?
So in extreme heat, you do definitely want to think through some of those key ways that you would be able to cool down and be prepared before you head out. There are some local communities that will operate things like cooling centers, but you may not always be able to access that. And so knowing how you would bring with you the supplies if you're going out somewhere in order to survive in a more extreme heat situation is important. Remember what I said that, you know, preparing for one disaster can help you for others. If you have an emergency kit at home, one of the things to think through is also having potentially more water in that emergency kit, or having first aid that would help with someone who would be experiencing heat stroke or something like that. You want to think through the supplies you need in different situations. What if your power goes out and it's extremely hot outside? Would you be able to stay home in that situation or have a go kit to take with you to help when the weather is so hot? So those are a few thoughts on that, but we do also, I'm going to plug again on ready.gov, we have a page for extreme heat as well to go through some of those specific tips too. And we do have it in multiple languages for anybody who might want to share this information with someone who doesn't, who speaks a different language.
Well, FEMA also has a protective actions research page, and it invites the public to contribute to it. Can you talk about the tools that are available through this page?
Absolutely. So we have a lot of research, and also we tend to take a look at all the different ways that you can protect your own health and safety during different types of hazards. As you mentioned previously, there are so many hazards out there, and that list seems to expand every single day. And as that list expands, and as we learn more year to year with all the different types of extreme weather events that we're facing, we do need to update that information, update the tips, continue that research so that we know what types of protective action are actually effective. And so that's what people can find on that page. Ready.gov is still the best jumping off point there, and we encourage everyone to explore the different types of hazards on there. And also, as they're interested, especially with the types of hazards that are more likely to affect them, we welcome all your thoughts, comments, and questions on how these tips apply to you and whether or not there are any additional areas where we want to take a closer look at what types of protective actions we can recommend out, continue that research on. All this information changes year to year, and that's why every September we have National Preparedness Month to talk about preparedness and remind people about it, but also promote other things that we have been thinking about that we have learned through our research.
Well, speaking of other things, Gloria, talk a little bit about Preparedness Connect. What is that?
And I'm sorry, what was that, the preparedness?
Preparedness Connect.
So I think the Preparedness Connect that you may be referring to is our website on the preparedness community and the protective actions. Is that right?
Yes. And there's also a Youth Preparedness Council. What is that? And how can the youth of our region get involved?
The Youth Preparedness Council is a great initiative where we invite all kinds of students across the country to join us for a segment of time where they get to come together, work with us and also different subject matter experts across the agency on preparedness problems and also ways that they can get back to their community and work a project to raise awareness. Similar to National Preparedness Month, where we're raising that awareness, we want to have the teenagers and youth across the country also participating in their communities, helping to promote why people should think about preparing. And we do find that they have really incredible ideas year to year. The council members always come up with great projects to do that type of promotion in their community.
Are you connected with many of the school districts, and how can the school districts take advantage of that?
So on ready.gov, we do have information about the Youth Preparedness Council, and we encourage any of the school districts that are interested in this opportunity for their students to share the website and help their students know how they can apply to the Youth Preparedness Council. But also, there's a lot of information already on the website ready.gov where students can learn every single day about specific things that they can do to prepare. And there's a lot of things you can do with generating interest in classrooms, working. We even have games in our Ready Kids section that kids of different ages can learn a little bit more about different hazards. And we have projects and ideas and examples of how kids can get involved.
So how does FEMA keep track of all these hazard events across the state of Oregon and the nation?
So FEMA, we have 10 regional offices, and it's divided up that way to make sure that our different regions have people who are focusing in on the specific hazards and events affecting the states in their regions. So you all are in FEMA Region 10, and we have folks who work in that area.
Well, that's all the time
local
we have.
Officials. And understand what kind of help FEMA can provide.
Well, thank you, Gloria. That's all the time we have for this segment of the JX. I've been talking with Gloria Wang of FEMA about disaster preparedness. I'm Mike Green. The JX will be right back with JPR News Director Eric Newman and the Oregon News Exploration Project.